Coming up on TMS, sandy clams are problematic.
Straggly armpit hair.
Nothing better than dipping your fry in a Frosty.
This is my bag!
Have your way with my mansion.
The McDLT of backpacks.
We don't talk about Lithgow.
Subjective sandwiches.
A thermostat.
Crude tools with Bill.
Getting along with your upper atmosphere with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Hey, there's Pepto-Bismol. Nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach,
diarrhea.
Yay, Pepto-Bismol!
Are you gonna throw up?
I already did.
This is The Morning Stream. No butt touching.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Tuesday, March 29th, 2022.
I'm Scott God, Johnson. I love that Weezer song. What a great Weezer song.
Isn't that a great Weezer? I know. It's back when Weezer really just tore it up. We were still holding that thread. His sweater was unraveling as he walked away.
No, that's the one. That is the song that Tristan thought sounded like Weezer's Strange Situation.
And, oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's not wrong.
I kind of hear like the chord progression, but you know what? Whatever. I think Bo's song is, I'd much rather listen to Bo's song than the Weezer song.
I would too. Take that, Weezer. Take
Unfriend
that.
Unfriend me!
Yeah, take that. What's the singer's name? Von, Chucky Von Potato Head? What is it?
Yeah, that's it. Yes, exactly. His name is Chucky Von Potato Head.
I can't remember his name. What's his name? Hold on. Don't say it. I know you know it.
Yeah.
It's like one of those names, though, that's like kind of... Oh gosh! It's a little. I almost said fruity. I don't mean it like pejorative.
It's a plural. It's plural noun. His first name.
Oh, that's right. It's like. Oh, it just flashed past. It just flashed past.
All right, his last name. He shares the last name with a beleaguered New York governor.
Hold on. Pataki, Giuliani.
I guess there have been a few. current governor of.
Or I guess it was governor. I guess he was mayor. I guess Giuliani.
Oh, mayor. I'm sorry. Yeah, mayor. Yeah. Giuliani was mayor. But
Jules. No. Cuomo is the last name.
That's correct.
First name is. Not Jules. It's like. Something with an S.
It is with an S. Yes. Good.
I can't do it. It is with
Rivers,
an S.
This is Rivers an S. Cuomo.
Oh, it's Rivers. Frick.
Rivers. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That hurt getting that out. That actually caused me pain.
And you still never got it out.
I didn't. That's what I mean. It's like they had to do C-section in the end. I pushed and pushed and no head would pop. And I finally had to just pull the baby out.
Why are you guys all shouting Barry? Barry.
Yeah. Cuomo, why are they yelling Barry? What's their Barry deal? I don't know.
Oh, that reminds me. You know, in my bag is something.
What do you got?
That I forgot.
Brian's got something in his bag, y'all.
This is my bag. This is the bag I take, my road bag, my going on trips bag. Mm. It's one I got for having a very good performance in The Longest Day, which is the Alzheimer's research.
Oh, Yeah. That's cool. You don't call it your stink bag like Bill does, right?
No, because I don't put anything in there that will stink.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Now,
an old can of sardines, open can of sardines,
I can hide. There's a lot of places, Benjamin, that I could hide weed in there if I wanted to.
Oh, hell
there's
yeah.
Even like, here's one of the best parts. Like right here is a, this bag or this pocket. You see that? It's like.
Oh yeah. Look at that.
It's like a heat. It keeps stuff warm in there. So like if I'm getting on a plane and I want to throw a Quiznos in there, it'll stay nice and warm.
It's like the McDonald's BLT. You can keep the hot side hot and the cool side cool.
Exactly. So Barry and Bobby Ann brought me something at the pinball festival.
Yeah.
And I just remember that when you guys were putting Barry in there, because I put it in one of the pockets that I forgot to empty when I got home. They got me a chocolate gold covered Pikachu head.
Oh my Lord. Is that wrapping on there or something you eat? the outside.
That is something you eat. That is an edible luster, gold luster dust.
Ooh.
That's what it's called, luster dust, which luster is dust. My favorite movie starring Divine.
Yeah.
She
was so good.
Edible luster dust.
Hey, wait, I got a question about Divine real fast before you. I think you should eat that. I think you should eat that, by the way, on the air, but I want to ask this question about Divine.
The problem is I want to eat one of the ears.
Yeah.
But if you don't start with the mouth, then when you eat the ears, you hear them screaming. It's the same with
But the scream is just Pikachu, crackers. I choose you or something. It's no big deal.
That's why I always start with the head when I eat animal crackers because I don't like the screaming.
Yeah. I always say I always start with the head. That's my motto. My question about Divine.
Yes.
Divine was this actor Waters used him in a lot of movies and stuff, right?
Yes. Yes.
And I say him because I don't know what the preference was there. This was a different time.
It was pre-pronouns. So Divine presented as female. So I guess you say she.
Did she? Because I always thought maybe, or was it one of those deals where, just like a drag queen at night, but in the day I'm just good old Phil Phillips.
This is a very interesting question. Pre when we knew to ask the right questions.
Yeah.
Was Divine... he was a drag queen.
Yeah.
Actor.
Did stage stuff, right? All that kind of thing, as far as I know.
Yeah, exactly.
My memory.
Pink Flamingos. I think that was the one where she ate a turd, or he ate a turd.
Ew. Really?
Actual poop. Yeah.
This happened? I've seen Pink Flamingos. I don't remember that.
Was it Pink Flamingos?
Oh my gosh.
Let's see. The dog feces in the infamous final scene is real. According to director John Waters, the dog was fed steak for 3 days beforehand. Divine's reaction to eating it was real. It was real poo. Real dog poo.
I didn't know this.
Sounds like we need to watch this for film sec.
Oh my gosh. We really should do a Waters movie.
We should do a John Waters movie. Yeah,
why not?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we don't have any thin mustache directors we watch very often.
It is a guaranteed what gross Scott out the most.
Oh yeah.
You'll just be cringy just waiting for the final scene to get to it.
Honestly, I remember that movie, seeing it with Bill, my friend Bill, at the Blue, I forget the name of the theater. We used to have this little theater called the Blue something, and we watched it together, and I remember thinking, oh, that was weird, and I get why he's no tour and all this. I do not remember dog poop. Don't remember it.
Wonder if you left, was it in a stinger, a post-credits stinger?
It was to get you excited about the sequel. I don't know. Oh, there's a video. Okay. I ain't looking. Oh. Pops and Recline, I ain't looking.
Yeah,
can't look.
By the way, J.C. Calhoun says, according to Wikipedia, Divine considered himself to be male and was not transgender or transsexual. That is the other, the other part of this, right?
Oh, okay.
Is it just someone who wants to perform as a woman but is not transgender, not transsexual?
Right. Nobody called. Who's the comedian that just died?
Who's the president that liked to dress in a women's clothes?
No, it wasn't president. It was J. Edgar Hoover was a.
Oh, that's right. It was the FBI. J.
Poor
Edgar
guy.
Hoover.
Who am I thinking of? Who just passed away? Big rotund dude. He was in Baskets. Won Emmys for that.
Oh, Louis Armstrong.
Louis Armstrong.
Louis Anderson.
Oldest night, baby. Come on down. We're gonna play the feud.
There we go. Louis Anderson.
Louis Anderson.
He played his mother in that show, but nobody ever went, "Oh, we need to start calling him her."
We don't say that about Lithgow or Dustin Hoffman or any of that stuff. So.
When did Hoffman? Hold on. Don't.
There was a. All
don't
right.
answer that. Hold on. Hoffman. Dustin Hoffman. Oh,
yeah.
Sorry, Tootsie, the obvious one.
Yes.
Just for a second,
this
I was like,
fun.
Wait a minute.
We're just going to rabbit hole our way through a bunch of stuff that we both have problems remembering.
Yeah, none of this is good. All right, I found a thing I wanted to share. So I like a good sandwich. You do too, I think, right?
Yes, I do like a good sandwich.
Yeah, and by good, that's a... The word good is what's the word? It's a personal word. You're not all going to feel the same.
Yeah.
Objective, or subjective, rather. And so I found a list of sandwiches that I wanted to ask you if you would eat these.
Okay, all right.
Some people find these beloved, and some people eat them on the regular, and I just don't know yet. So
I will not be eating the Spinal Tap shit sandwich.
I would not eat that either.
Okay,
very good. So here's number one. on this list I found on allwomenstalk.com.
Stock. That's stock. What it is. It's allwomenstalk.com. I bet they didn't look at that as one long all lowercase word when they created that website.
No. Welcome to penisland.com, everyone.
allwomenstalk.com. That's pretty funny. I love it. It's awesome.
We are not saying the official stance of TMS is that all women stalk is not our stance. We do not believe they all stalk. Okay. We think a couple of them do. Right, the most are fun.
Oh, and you know who you are.
Yeah. If you're Ireland. Stalking, you know who you are. all right. Check this out. Honey and cheese. How's that sound to you?
Oh, honey. Does it say what kind of cheese?
Yeah. So here's one. This is.
Goes oh, better it just together says, than friggin' fish and cheese, McDonald's.
It says Stilton is their favorite, but this is the entire sandwich. So it's bread of some sort. Mm-hmm. Imagine a nice like brioche sort of, you know,
yeah.
something like
yeah.
that. And then you I got like a slab of Stilton or similar Stilton. Cheese.
Okay. All
and right. then just drizzle that thing full of honey. How's that land on
no you? Problem whatsoever. That sounds awesome. Stilton would be a good cheese to pair with honey.
All right, fair enough. How do you feel about grapes in your sandwich? Like actual grapes?
Fine with grapes. Are okay. we adding it to the cheese and honey sandwich?
No.
Or just on its own? Just sliced grapes.
So here's what you do. Nope, you do. You take two pieces of bread, butter.
Yeah.
Okay, butter those breads. And then the filling is chopped grapes.
Okay.
That's it. That's
Again, no problem. Because you know what chopped grapes, the more you chop them, you know what they get closer to?
Wine is my thinking.
Right? Or grape jelly.
Oh, yeah. Not quite wine.
Not quite wine. Yet. Sure. I mean, if you keep going and let it sit for a while. Then
yeah, do it with your feet. Let them sit. But yeah.
Just... That's the problem with if you don't have a mortar. You need a mortar in there to hold the grapes. Otherwise, if that sandwich veers off of that perfectly horizontal holding, grapes will fall.
That's true. They will, won't they?
Yeah.
The grapes will fall.
Grapes will roll.
Yeah. And they'll be wrathful. Grapes of wrath. Here's one that seems common. I don't know why this is on here. It's weird, but peanut butter and banana. I used to have those when I was a kid.
Oh. Nothing wrong with that at all. There's a place here that did a bacon, peanut butter, and banana sandwich because he made it for Elvis. It was when Elvis came to Denver, this guy was hired to make the sandwiches for him. Mm-hmm. This was, of course, in Elvis's fat years.
Yeah.
And he had a restaurant on Union Avenue by Alameda. Mm-hmm. And I swore one of these days or one day when it was open – I was going to go there and get a bacon, peanut butter, and banana sandwich because it's basically like it's on the menu with highlights and arrows and lightning bolts and whatever around it. Tina and I only ever went there for breakfast, but the place was decked out with photos of Elvis and press clippings from his time in Denver and all that stuff.
But they're gone now? And you can't still go?
They just closed like 2 weeks ago or something, mid-March, I think they closed.
Should have gone and asked for a fish sandwich.
I should have gone. Yeah. I'm so bummed I missed out on that, and I didn't think about that
too early to get a peanut butter and banana sandwich.
Right? Yeah.
too late, I guess. All right. Here's this one. Now, Nutella, I get it. On bread, it's fine. Whatever. How do you feel about Nutella with cheese? Like cheddar?
Ooh. Now we're getting into some dangerous territory because chocolate and cheese, because Nutella is chocolate hazelnut spread.
And that's weird, right? That's weird.
I
don't think that's weird. The right combo. I feel like that's rough. And this one that literally says in the quote, don't knock it till you tried it. I mean, I would try it, but I'm not seeking that out.
I would try a bite of it, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'd try one bite, and if I was blown away, well, maybe I'd stay for the full deal. But I'm not convinced.
So the sandwich, by the way, the Elvis sandwich is called Fool's Gold Loaf.
Ew,
loaf.
No,
because
I like loaf.
It's the sandwich consists of a single warmed, hollowed out loaf of bread filled with the contents of one jar of creamy peanut butter, one jar of grape jelly, and a pound of bacon.
Oh, okay.
So no banana. I thought there was banana in there, but
definitely his fat years. Holy crap.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I don't think that's for me. I think that's
no,
too much.
I don't think that's for anybody who's basically not hoping for a heart attack.
Yeah. Although, it's too bad it was the drugs, though, right? It would have been cool if he'd have died on that toilet trying to pass a giant sandwich.
Trying to pass a big fool's gold loaf turd.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been a better story, I think, because otherwise it's just sad.
He liked that thing so much, he actually flew his private jet out to get one of those.
To Denver to get it?
Yep.
It's wouldn't it be better to... I guess it wouldn't be. When you're Elvis, you have all the money, so who cares, I guess, right?
Yeah, right. I put a link in the chat room to an article on Messy Nessie Chic, and it's got a photo, like a cutaway photo of the sandwich with all of that bacon and peanut butter and jelly in there.
Oh, we got to see this. Okay, if you're watching the YouTube archive of the show or you're here live, this is
it's on Messy Nessie Chic.
Look at this right here. Oh, gosh, that actually looks really good.
It does. I would do, like, basically, if you take that, cut 1 inch of it, I would feel like that is a, maybe 2 inches, I'd feel like, all right, that's a good sandwich. I could do, I'm just trying to word this in a way that doesn't make it too easy for Jamie. I love Jamie. I just don't want to make things too easy for him.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I understand.
But I would do 2 inches of that sandwich.
Yeah. There you go. No, you still made it easy, but I still made it easy,
but he's going to have to cut it really tight after 2 inches, but before the sandwich.
Yeah, which is also good in its own right. That last thing you said.
That might actually also be good material.
I wanted to show everybody real quick this couch on Elvis's plane. What an ugly plane interior. That's so ugly. And I know it's of a time, right? I get it.
Oof, my gosh. That couch with the... That looks like somebody put another couch on top of a couch.
Yeah, it's bad. It's just really ugly. And that bedroom? Ugh, I don't want to be on that plane.
Anyway, guy right there. So right under those photos of the couch, the bald guy holding the sandwiches, that is Nick of Nick's Cafe. He's the guy who served the sandwich, and he's the guy who also brought us our breakfast. And you can see how covered the walls are with Elvis memorabilia in there.
Oh, yeah. There's more Elvis there than Elvis has, feels like.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Why wouldn't you do this? Why wouldn't you have a suitcase full of ingredients, this guy, and then Elvis say, you know what, I'm flying you to Nashville for the weekend, and you're just going to make this sandwich for me, and you're going to hang out with me, and I'm going to let you just have your way with my mansion and stuff. Why wouldn't you do that instead of fly there? You know?
Let's think about this. I mean, all right, I'm trying to find a good equivalent. You like Freddy's?
Yeah, I do like Freddy's.
So do you feel like you'd get the same Freddy's sandwich if one of the minimum wage kids from Freddy's came over with beef, a bun?
Fair point. You make a fair point. However, if this guy that you're showing us here, if he came over and made it, I would feel pretty good because that's just all handmade stuff.
All he has to do is just, he just has to cook a pound of bacon. Yeah. Everything else comes out of a jar and slices a loaf in half. So that's, you're probably, for that one, you're probably right.
I hope is he still with us, this little dude, or? You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, because the interviews were talking about how sad they were to close, but they're just like, we can't do the restaurant thing anymore.
Yeah. Nobody cares about Elvis anymore. Right. It's not selling seats.
We don't talk about Elvis.
Nope. No. How about this one? All right. We got this is one that would upset some people, I know.
Okay. All right.
Pineapple and mayonnaise. How's that land?
Oh, now we're getting into no territory.
Yeah. This is almost a for sure no for me, but it says.
I like mayonnaise. I like those two together feel like an unholy bastion of terror.
Yeah. I mean, it says here, according to this person, he says, I don't like mayonnaise and I don't particularly like pineapple. But he says the combination of the two is amazing, and he was blown away by it, and he couldn't believe it.
God, I guess I would try it, but I wouldn't make any promises on.
That could be a fun one for the show. Bite. That could be a fun. That could be a fun show test for us.
We both have to do it. This is not a solo situation.
Oh, we both have to do it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Do we do weird sandwiches at TMS Vegas as part of the...
Oh, my Lord.
Because been looking at like what we can do as far as like a thing we could do live.
Yeah. It could end up being
My plans for a game show are quickly fading as we approach, and I don't know what venue we have or what our options are going to be for a display, a video.
Yeah. But don't worry, everyone. something will come together.
Yeah, yeah. We're definitely doing something, and I just don't know if we're going to have video screens, which the thing I'd like to do hinges on a video screen.
Yeah, that would make a difference. All right, this is maybe just as bad. Peanut butter and pickle. How's that one land?
I'm sure that's somebody's pregnant concoction.
Yeah, you're having a baby. You eat that. Otherwise,
peanut butter and pickle. I'm trying to decide. Like, would it have to be sweet pickles to do it?
Oh, good point. This doesn't specify.
Dill would be tough. The tartness of the dill would just absolutely clash with the.
Definitely says dill. So you're
dill.
Yeah. So you're right to be concerned, though. I think the idea there is maybe the tartness is the key, but it sounds wrong up front. I just can't. I don't think I could.
Yeah.
Do it. Toast.
Yeah. I would try it, but I don't know.
How about toasted Starburst?
What?
Yeah.
You can toast Starburst? Fruit chews?
Yeah. It says, you know what? I think I remember doing this with the kids once.
How do you toast them without them just turning into runny goo?
I don't remember. Kim would have to answer this for me, but we did this with the kids once, and it was good, I think. But how did we do it? We had a fire pit. And we used to do, you know, marshmallows and stuff over it. And somebody said, "Oh, you got to try Starburst." And we did it, and it somehow worked. But I don't remember what the deal was. How it worked?
I guess that's the thing, right? You roast it until it starts turning into a goo, and that makes it easier to spread on the thing. Oh, Gordo the Great or Gordoc the Great says we do toasted Starbursts when we go camping.
Yeah.
They don't melt that quickly.
Yeah, they don't. They don't melt very quickly. That's the weird thing.
The outside caramelizes pretty quickly, so the inside doesn't.
Yeah, but you have to be careful because I remember one of my kids burning their tongue or something.
Yeah. By the way, Cleo's saying, when I was pregnant, I used to carry around a little bag of, insert your guess here, to stave off nausea.
Oh, wow.
Before we get to that question, seeing her reminds me, did you know that Gwyneth Paltrow has a new candle in the Goop store?
No way.
Yes.
What's it say? What's the...
This candle smells like my orgasm.
Oh. Okay, that really escalated then. She really did go next level. Okay.
She did. Yes.
Okay. That's, I don't want to know, I don't know. I'm just going to pass on that candle.
As I was searching for that one, I found a third one, and this is not a joke. She also has one called This Smells Like My Prenup.
My prenup, for real?
Yes, this smells like my prenup.
What does a prenup smell like?
Prenuptial agreement?
Yeah, but what does it smell
what you
like?
Sign. Oh, what does it smell like? I don't know. Probably like paper. You ever smell paper?
Yeah, you ever smell paper?
Chris Martin get half of her vagina candle money, and so this is kind of like a reminder.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Does he? He doesn't really talk about his time there, does he? Pretty quiet about it. Why wouldn't you be? You'd be private about your life.
Yeah, exactly. They were always. I mean, they always seemed to be kind of private and not defensive, but protective of their of little apple.
Yeah, which makes sense. You know, you want to keep your private life for as private as you can, but then you also want to sell candles that you claim smell like your orgasm. So there's that.
The eye child. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think Chris Marr would say, yeah, actually that's, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah. Or what if he said, I don't recognize this at all. That means she was faking it.
That's right.
All right. Like Elaine says, fake. All right.
Oh, did you see, I put a link on Twitter today.
Awesome. Did you put the link or where did you? Because I never saw a link.
Yeah, because in my original tweet, I effing forgot to put the link because I'm new to Twitter.
Yeah.
I was just a web designer.
Sure. Just a simple
thought
man.
Out by your scientists.
Yeah, yeah.
Taught the ways of social media.
What's the address? I want to see this.
Watch Seinfeld.net.
Seinfeld.net.
I can't edit my tweet.
So is it?
It's not an option, is it?
No,
it's not, is it?
Never has been, which sucks. Okay, so why does this exist? This seems illegal, doesn't it?
Right. How is it that they're able? Is it because you can't choose? It's just a live stream or something?
Seinfeld.
Oh, gotcha. Thank you, Wayne's PDX. I get the joke. I get it.
Oh, well, we're a little it slow. More,
it touched a nerve because I want to be able to edit my tweets. That's
for
all.
Some reason, the .net's not working for me, but the .cc works for me.
Oh, weird. Maybe we've already broken it.
Maybe it's not even the same.
Watch Seinfeld is working for me.
Weird. Oh, no, that is too. Okay.
Are you spelling Seinfeld correctly?
Yeah, I got it. I got it, but for some reason, so there's another one called .cc, and they let you do it per episode. This one just plays in perpetuity, right? Just plays.
Yeah, this one is a nonstop, one right after another episode, and I don't know if they're showing them in order or showing them in a... It'd be better, I think, if they were showing them in a random order, but...
Oh, interesting. They're doing... Okay, so I'm just trying to see this domain's hosted offshore somewhere. So that's how they're getting away with it. It's just some hacker.
Oh, really? Like an offshore Swiss bank account website?
Because otherwise, this is illegal what they're doing. Because it's the rights are owned to a thing. Oh, this is a great one. It's where Newman's giving him advice while about the bike that she got.
Right. Yes, the Kramer one. So they're going to cut the bike in half. And
that's great. I love stupid internet
stuff. Look at all the stuff in the background of Newman's apartment. Holy cow.
Yeah, that guy's got, they never really said it.
Menus on the wall, a Chinese food container.
He's a hoarder.
A big ice cream, plastic ice cream cone.
Yeah, he's a hoarder. I think that's what's going on there. Yeah. They just never dealt with the hard-hitting psychological issues of hoarding. Instead, they laughed it off and made a show.
Right.
Finally, Brian, how do you feel about a potato chip and ice cream sandwich? How does that one land for you?
We're getting that ice cream place that has the macaroni and cheese ice cream. I would, of all of them, I would actually try that because heaven knows one of the greatest things you can do is go to Wendy's, order some fries and a Frosty, and dip your fries in the Frosty. And those are just two Kevin Bacons away from potato chips and ice cream.
I agree. Yeah. I think this would be okay. As weird as that may sound on the surface of it, let's go for it. Sounds all right. I like potato chips in all sorts of weird places. Not softball.
Jamie, you don't even have to do anything with that one.
No.
That's like such an easy edit right there.
Just play the first 12 minutes of today's show and you've got your mashup. all right, there's that. A quick follow-up from Tony. The other day, as you know, I registered a complaint. Yeah. My complaint was that heaters from Costco, this one over here, this radiating heater, should be better and actually heat the room and not be only two settings, cold or burning hot. And I wanted some in the middle. Here's what Tony in Buffalo said in regards to that.
Okay. Says, that's a guy who knows cold, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, I bet he does. Dude, Buffalo, you got your bills. You got your...
Your wings.
Your wings. Yeah, your wild wings, right?
Well, sure. I don't know how good they feel about Buffalo Wild Wings, but
if that really
originated there, or if that's just some know bastardization of the name,
who knows? I don't know what else they got in Buffalo. You got other stuff, I'm sure, but you got a lot of snow is the point. Anyway,
heavy winters.
Oh yeah, heavy winters. He says, "Hey, Slumber and Bunk, get a quartz electric heater from a good name. They radiate heat well and have no eco settings." I got mine.
I don't see the word no. Just have eco settings.
Just oh. And oh, I thought it said and have no. Why did I read that?
I don't know, but you want eco settings.
I guess you do. It says, I got mine at Lowe's and they are pretty quiet. I enjoy sitting next to it while I eat a tender, crisp bacon cheddar ranch. Love the show, though, Tony.
Nice.
I think that's him trying to get me to play something, so I guess I will.
Yep.
Hold on.
It's a tender, crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
I'm here for you there, Tony. Okay. Quartz Electric. Never heard of it. I'll check it out.
Interesting, yeah. Get it from a good name, though, Scott. Like,
what does that mean?
Or Charlie?
I don't know what to. I don't know how to.
I don't know either.
Good name.
I think get one that's like DeLonghi or some reputable heater name. I think Quartz isn't that the brand? It's a
it's
style
type.
Of heater.
Yeah, it's a
so
type
just
of
get
heater.
One that's made by a legit brand and not don't get the Anchor. Quartz electric heat. Actually, the Anchor model would be one of those reputable brands. I think Anchor is doing great right now.
There's a whole bunch of these. Let's see. Okay, there's a brand called Comfort Zone that is all over Amazon. I don't know if they're any good. There's a brand. Oh, okay. We've heard of Duraflame makes one.
yeah, but they make things that set on fire.
That's what I thought. But they've got an actual thing. Gigantics. I don't know any of these brands, so good name.
Black & Decker makes one.
Okay, that'd be cool. The best seller on here is a $30 one, but there's no brand. It just says generically portable electric space heater with thermostat, and that's all it says. Thermostat.
Thermostat. Wow. That's a. I saw Bosch, and I'm like, oh, how much is that one? $873. Jeez. But it's not a quartz heater. It is a Thermo Technology 40-gallon standard electric storage water heater.
Oh, that would not work for what I need.
Yeah, they just took my results and said, let's throw the word water in there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. I'll. You know what? I'll do some looking. If anyone knows a good brand, I mean, here's Costway Heat Storm. I don't know these people.
Heat Storm.
I feel like an Overwatch character just popped his ultimate. I don't know what that even is.
Right. I was thinking that first guy you battle in Ice Crown Citadel.
Bone Storm.
What was his name?
Bone Rattler? Rattlebone?
Bone Rattler.
Yeah. Well,
Old Boner, the boss. Boner the boss.
That's right.
I have no idea.
Rivers Cuomo is his name.
All right, we're gonna do some news and catch you guys up on the happenings around the world.
Marigar, thank you, Lord Marigar.
Oh, Marigar, that's it. Yeah, he's a fun. Yeah. That was a fun encounter.
That was a fun raid.
That whole raid was great. Yeah, I still say I don't know. The game kind of peaked there. Some of the best stuff they ever did. Mm-hmm. Now this. Why? Look at that! It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by.
It's a debate for the ages when a 40-something contrarian film critic and a 26-year-old Disney-loving former theater major recommend their favorite movies to each other. Find out if hosts Adam Mock and Melanie Weir can bridge the cinematic generation gap and hopefully learn to like something out of their comfort zone on Made You Watch, a podcast. Oh. New episodes every Wednesday. Subscribe everywhere you get your podcasts and keep up with the show on Twitter at Made You Watch. Check it today.
Very nice. They also left a nice little note about how much the shows mean to them, and it was very nice. So I just want to say thanks to them.
Thank you guys.
Yeah, it was really nice. Excellent. And I will check out your show. All right. Here's your first story. An on-duty Chicago cop. I don't know. I'm, you know, duty's funny, but I didn't expect to laugh at it. I don't know why.
Yeah, happened. I know. It's just funny. Like, on duty.
Just happened. Anyway. Giggity. Chicago cop who was on duty was allegedly served food containing hair and dirt after ordering food from a drive-up Wendy's.
That's just our Baconator, sir.
Yeah, sorry. Yes, the hair is on purpose and the dirt is extra.
Did you get dirt from a Wendy's salad, didn't you?
No, it was a Carl's Jr.
Carl's Jr.
Yeah, I'll never forget that. It was a dirt clod in there, and it was like, I know I always say this, but I always have to point out, it was like a wet dirt clod, but if you tapped on it, it opened up and it was full of dried dirt. Yeah. So it was like crazy. Remember crazy sand or whatever it was? Magic sand, was it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is that what that was like called?
Oh, interesting.
When we were kids, whatever that stuff was. But it was one of the worst things that ever happened to me at any sort of food establishment. Yeah. And it took me 20 years between then and the next time I ate anything at Carl's Jr.
Wow. That's recent. Yeah, it was the footprint on the Wendy's burger. That's right.
Yes. Right. Yeah,
that was the Wendy's experience.
Yeah, so Wendy's has their moments. it says here, a female officer drove through this drive-up, reportedly started eating her food, and she discovered that hair and dirt were in there. Mm. Chicago Police Department CPD has confirmed that the detectives are investigating the incident. The news outlet states the officer proceeded to order a double cheeseburger and was already eating when she found hair and dirt. Ooh, just dirt. Just the sound of dirt in your teeth, man.
Yeah.
That's the worst. All I have to do to Kim, I think I've said this before, all I have to do is suggest the idea that there's sand in something.
Uh-huh.
And she can't put her teeth together for the next 20 minutes.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, I hate that. Well, I hate that feeling too. And it's sad because I really like clam chowder, but I know exactly the thing you described, the sand, the grit that can't you sometimes get.
People sometimes just
eating an oyster, like you get a little chunk of shell in there.
Yeah,
and,
it's just part of my problem with those things. But man, people like, here in Boston or wherever, Vermont, we can't eat clam chowder unless there's some sand in it. I'm like, well, then more for you then. I don't want it.
Yeah. Wow. It's I don't know if those things have a quota. They must contain sand.
Yeah. The one I had, supposedly it was a very authentic bowl I had in San Francisco once.
Yeah.
Was full of sand. Oh, and I said to the lady, this seems wrong. Is this normal? She's like, oh, that's what everyone demands. This is how it's, you know, it's authentic. I'm like, yeah, maybe what else is on your menu?
That must be something she tells obvious tourists. Oh, yeah, everybody demands it. This is authentic.
Yeah, I never got over that statement because I was just really? This can't be.
That is such bullshit. That is such like...
Can it be true? It's not true.
Pardon my French, but that seems like total BS.
Yeah. Chat room, unless someone can confirm, I think that lady was having her way with me a little bit.
I think that might not be the phrase you meant.
Oh, that may not be the way to mention to say.
She's having a laugh.
Gotcha. Yeah. Let's see here. They talked to the manager of the place. The manager gave the sergeant attitude, says the report. I would not take her complaint seriously, and all they would do is offer her a refund. The report. Wow. Well, I don't know what else do they expect her to do though. Like, beyond a refund, what would you expect from that? Just an apology.
I guess an apology and here's a coupon for a free. We're giving you this one, and we'll remake your burger. We apologize, and here's a coupon for another free entree sometime you come back.
Yeah, there's a three win kind of way to do this.
Yeah, yeah,
they
exactly.
Didn't do it.
They did not do it. They did not follow the rules.
The report notes that the officer became ill as a result of the incident, began to throw up several times. She declined medical attention at the scene though because she's a tough mother effer.
Yeah, I have issue with hair. If I find hair in food,
yeah,
even if it's Tina's, even if it's believe it or not, I do have hair, eyebrows and stuff that.
Yeah.
Even my own, I think I have issue with. I have a problem with any hair in food. Well, I know. Rublak says, "Wow, Brian has an issue with hair."
I mean, I think a lot of people do. That's pretty common. But I always wonder, like, if it's such a strange thing for humans to be totally cool with, like, let's say you're with your girlfriend and you're running your fingers through her hair. You love her hair. Beautiful, long, hair. It's so nice. You love it. The minute one of those strands falls off and lands in your soup, you're like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I can't eat this.
Yeah, it totally is. Exactly. I'm sorry. We cannot see each other anymore.
That's so weird.
I loved your hair to run my fingers through it. Now that it's been in my mouth, now I'm done. Bye-bye.
Yeah. The same hair you were just nuzzling before going, oh, your hair smells so great. Having it all up in your face, like worse than you're going to do with that soup when you take it out. Yet somehow, the minute it detaches, we all get grossed out. It's really weird. Human behavior.
Exactly.
But I get it. I'm with you. I don't want anybody's hair in there. I assume the worst. Like, if it's a hair, I don't even think it's the server. I go, well, what cook's armpit, strangly armpit hair?
Because you don't have to assume. You don't want to. Oh, God.
Yeah.
You don't have to assume that it's from their head because they probably have a net.
Yeah. Is Terry in the chat says another Seinfeld reference. What, the hair thing? I don't remember that. Is that a thing? Like when it leaves your body? It's suddenly gross?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Straggly armpit hair. Let's move on to this story here about Pete Davidson.
Who guaranteed has straggly armpit hair.
Oh, you know he does. And it's all bad.
Somebody, can't remember where I heard it, but somebody was doing an impersonation of Pete Davidson. Says, hi, I'm Pete Davidson. My tattoos look like the notebook of a teenage school shooter.
Now
that's all I can think of.
They do. He doesn't even bother with it. He just goes into whoever does them for him and says, here, write this sentence and do it.
Right. Yes, exactly.
In this crappy writing, like I don't understand that guy. Actually, I think he's funny, but I do not understand his
What is the allure? Right. Does he go from Kate Beckinsale to Ariana Grande to Kim Kardashian?
I really don't get it. Girls like funny guys, I guess, but.
Yeah,
there.
Another Seinfeld reference is what he's the Kvorka. Is that wasn't that the thing when the Kramer? You're the Kvorka.
Yeah, the Kvorka. When the lady's trying to leave the Orthodox Lithuanian, whatever.
Yes, exactly.
I remember what brings you to this. What brings you to defeat? That guy says.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, no longer going to space. This was a bit of news a couple weeks ago that we actually failed to report here, but he was going to fly in the Bezos rocket.
Right,
For some reason, Pete Davidson was going to space. That's no longer happening because the launch got postponed and it changed things. He's not going on Blue Origin's next space flight after the company pushed back the launch by 6 days. The launch of the Bezos-owned company rocket, originally set for March 23rd, is now for the 29th. That's today.
Mm-hmm.
Blue Origin's 20th flight to of New Shepard has shifted, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Five paying customers are set to go on the flight. This includes Marty Allen, an investor and former CEO of the Party Supply Store. Oh, my Lord.
Wait a minute. The guy who owns the CEO of a Party Supply Store is...
Yep. Pretty weird, okay. Right?
All right.
That's a weird one. Jim Kitchen, an entrepreneur and business professor. George Neild, a former associate administrator of the Federal Aviation Administration Office of Commercial Space Transportation. Mark Hagel, an Orlando real estate developer, and his wife. Sharon Hagel.
And the rest.
she founded a space-focused nonprofit. Anyway, let's see. This doesn't really get into what happened with...
I think it was a scheduling issue, must right?
Have been, like yeah. Oh, because Pete Davidson is somehow so busy that he can't go to space now? Give me a break.
That's the question. What do you have scheduled that you can't reschedule or miss because you're going into space?
No, I don't get it. This whole thing is just a nightmare. We're all living in a nightmare. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's not going to space. You're not going to get his hot take after his space travel. You'll just probably hear some take about him in a car with Kardashian doing something. That's what you'll hear about.
Further angering Yee.
Yeah. Do you think he... there's a new Kardashian show coming to Hulu, I guess.
Okay.
Like a brand new one. Yeah. And I have zero interest in it. But
yeah. There's another one I won't watch.
Yeah. But do you think he's going to be all up in that? Probably. Right?
Oh, probably. Yeah, I would assume so. I mean, if it focuses... Depends on how much it focuses on Kim and not... Chloe and
because she's definitely in it, and her mom's in it. I know because she was announcing it on Twitter. Whatever. I don't understand the allure of any of that stuff. She's in trouble right now. Kim Kardashian's in trouble the other day for saying, telling women to work harder or something if they want to succeed in life.
Mm.
And I'm like, dude.
Well, there was a.
You're famous for doing it with a.
Right. You're dude. The only reason we know about you is because of a sex tape you made with Ray J.
Yeah, with Ray J. How's that going for you? I mean, I understand. Look, whatever. Once you're there, maybe they're savvy with media. And I don't want to discount any actual business acumen that may exist in the Kardashian family. But
yeah,
sometimes you're just getting lucky. And sometimes you're more plastic than human. And sometimes that's all just working for you in the moment.
Did she tell women to work harder or work it harder?
I think maybe she said work harder, and then she apologized. Oh, it's one of those apologies where she says, I'm sorry if anyone received it in a different way.
I'm sorry if.
Yeah, the sorry ifs. Those always work real well in the long run. Nice job.
Yes.
That's going to do it for the news for now. We have some more tomorrow. We have a Denver story for tomorrow, so that'll be fun. we'll get to all that later, but today we got to make room for our guests coming up. We got Bill coming up. We got Bobby coming up. A little science, a little making stuff. Before all of that, a song break that Brian Ibbett made or has.
Yeah. I wish I could say I made it. We're going to be listening to a band called The Lazy Eyes. Pulling the information up because, I can't read time and know to expect that we're getting to the point of the show where I'm going to need to talk about a song. All right. These guys are like psych pop, super cool psych pop, psych rock, which is, psychedelic rock, but they shorten it for the kids these days. These guys are from Australia. They're called The Lazy Eyes. Their brand new album comes out April 22nd. It's called Songbook, and this is the first single from it. This is called Starting Over.
All right. We're going to play it now. And when we come back, Bill and Bobby, stay tuned.
Afraid to start again. like this marriage anymore.
I've been living life with my husband on the edge of a knife.
Ate it?
The Morning Stream. When news breaks, we're there. The next morning. Except on Fridays and for the weekend.
All right, we're back. Hey, Brian, tell me who that was
again. That song again is called Starting Over. It's by the band The Lazy Eyes from Australia, coming up on their brand new album Songbook, which comes out next month, April 22nd. Go check it out. The band is The Lazy Eyes.
Very, very nice.
Little Flaming Lips in there, a little Tame Impala.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not a different Impala, but the Tame Impala.
Yeah, the Tame Impala, the one that behaves itself and does what I tell it. The Tame
That's right.
Impala.
Yes, yeah. The Tame Impala.
We're gonna dive into some maker business with this.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Bill Duran joining us as he does each and every Tuesday to talk about the world of makers and making things.
Yeah.
Been on a real run lately with some cool stuff. Bill, welcome back. How are you?
Oh yeah, I'm doing good. I got a cat right here.
Yeah.
Aww.
I don't know if you can hear her, but I can.
What's she made out of?
Yeah, what do you got?
Mostly resin or
a resin cat?
Well, actually, she's mostly fur, and a lot of that fur ends up in a lot of my props.
Carved her out of some wrestling foam.
Yeah, big old block of foam.
Yeah, you can always tell when somebody's got a cat and all their computer stuff and everything. It's like that stuff in there. There's just no getting around right. it, and it's fine. She's your cat, you know?
She's your cat.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill.
Hey. Yeah.
When last we spoke, I was working on, I don't know if you're looking at the stream, at the video of the stream. I was working on this Star Wars Kyber crystal holder right here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, so good.
3D resin printed. That was model one that I did a week ago. I have now come out with model two.
That's
which
how it always works.
Iteration.
Unpainted. Still unpainted, but this one has got the Star Wars elements on there.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
Yeah,
the indentations, that.
Some greeblies?
Some greeblies, exactly.
Yeah.
The piping on top is now silver, chrome painted.
Nice.
And because I think ahead, I even created little holes in the back where
it.
I can hang it on the wall.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
see, I didn't even think about it in a shelf configuration. That's awesome.
Yeah, because I've got my my lightsabers right back there, and this will sit right beneath the lightsabers once it's painted. And
perfect.
And it still lights up. You know, you just move one of the crystals, or you move the middle crystal, and it all lights up. And
That's awesome. How's that yellow one sitting in there? Weird. Why is that one? Are they? I guess they're not snug. They're just sort of hanging out in there.
Yeah, they just sit there.
Yeah.
They're like little, like, this is what the Slee Stacks used to play with on Land of the Lost to, to trigger the time portal.
Oh, man. Ask your uncles, I guess.
Ask somebody old about that one.
That's a hell of a thing. Well, all right. That's a good update. I like that. It's looking really good.
Yeah. I love that the iteration that 3D printing allows is one of my favorite things.
Yeah. That's awesome. Sure. Well, Bill,
I like the term greeblies because I know exactly what you're doing. Yeah. Adding little greeblies to make it look authentic.
Greeblies sounds like a race in Star Wars, let alone what do you call them? Thing on there. Hey, Bill, you brought stuff. What are you working on? What are you doing?
Sure did. Yeah. I wanted to talk about YouTube, something that happens a lot on YouTube and something I've experienced. Every once in a while, you may notice that your favorite YouTuber makes a change.
Yeah.
They change the way they make their videos. Maybe podcasts. Probably happens to podcasters too, right?
Sure does, yep.
And every once in a while, I've been making YouTube videos for over a decade now. And every once in a while, someone leaves a comment to point that out to me, that, you know, they're disappointed because I don't make videos the same way I make them, you know, a decade ago. Or really whenever it is that they jumped on the train, right?
Right.
And it's true. If you go back and watch one of my videos from 2012, they're quite different.
they evolve and iterate, turns out.
Right. Yeah. They're less frequent now. They're longer. I use more expensive tools. I use more advanced techniques. And I'm a lot better at talking to the camera. I also have a lot less gray hair in my head and beard.
Yeah,
that stuff
really took on a life of its own during COVID. I noticed your gray went from just starting to nice full gray thing going on
for sure.
Same with mine.
Oh yeah, I just wish the gray on either side of my beard would come in evenly so that it looked intentional.
Yeah. Well, you could be like me where you still get the brown on the sides, mm-hmm. and then, but underneath here it's like white, and then over here it's a weird... What is that about? Why is it so much to ask that we could all just have at least one genetic thing that isn't all over the damn map? How about that?
Right. Hey, maybe something that looks better as we grow older. Yeah, I don't know. Right? That would be nice.
Exactly.
So yeah, like I said, I've been making these videos for 10 years and it's changed a lot. And I'm here to tell you, everyone, even though it's a bummer when your favorite YouTuber no longer makes videos for you, let's say, that change is inevitable, it's necessary, and it is good.
It is good.
I realize that if I make a change to my videos, like intentionally change the way I make my videos, I will probably lose viewers. And sometimes people like to point this out, and I'd like to tell them that I already know and worry about that.
Sure. It's already a thing you're aware of. Yeah. I mean, trust me, as somebody who's had, I don't know, almost 20 years of this, and you make a change to a format that somebody's used to, they lose their minds. Like, even if I change up, when I change this music in the show, we have this mid-break thing where I moved to this recently. Right? So it's this, like, cool transitional music. And it was just to change things up. No big deal. Most people are 100% fine with it. Even Brian was like, oh, that's cool. I like that.
Oh, you know? I love that track.
Yeah, it was like a neat little change. I still got emails from people going, my brain can't deal with it. I can't deal with the change.
Right.
So you're going to have that kind of even for small, dumb stuff like that.
Yeah.
And
or even if you just like get a new microphone and your voice sounds slightly different.
Yeah, I actually I'm having that right now because my mixer changed and I still haven't quite dialed in my settings for voice stuff. So I think I sound a little different in the last couple days, and I'm trying to narrow it back. It's hard as hell to actually do that. I didn't actually mean to do it, but yeah, that can be enough to have people go, this is a change, and my, you know, different people are going to have different sensitivities to those changes, I guess.
Yep.
That sort of thing, but yeah. I feel you.
An interesting thing to think about with so my YouTube channel is 10 years old. We have 700,000 subscribers, and we gained them over the 10 years, right? We get new viewers every day. We lose viewers every day. It's this constantly evolving mass of humanity, right? And trying to appease, like, let's say someone who would be considered an older viewer just to keep them around could also mean alienating newer viewers. Like, there's this weird algebra that you just kind of have to play in your head when you're making these decisions. And it's all part of the process.
Yeah.
So what I wanted to talk about is why. Why do we change? Why does it change over time? And I have a couple of good reasons here. So first of all, we try really hard to make better quality videos. Every video we make, we try and make a little better than the last one.
Yep, absolutely.
Right? So that means like I have a new lav mic that makes me sound a little different because the old one broke. I got new camera lenses. We get new cameras. We try different things with the lights. We try and up the production value, and that changes the final product. And you can change it dramatically, too. But also, over 10 years, like, we do this as a business, and the model changes, and our goals change. Something I love pointing out is when I started making videos, I wasn't making any money from videos. All of my income was from commission props and resin castings. Now, I don't do any of that at all, and all of my income comes from videos and books. And that changed over the first 5 years of making my videos. In the first video I made, I point out, look, everyone, I'm not making tutorials, okay? These videos are just for fun. And now it's all I do, right?
Yes, right.
Yeah.
And most people would be like, yeah, awesome, I love that you make the tutorials. But if I stop making tutorials now, there will be a riot. Right? Unless I do it very slowly over a long period.
Right, that's the thing.
Really gradual. Yeah.
Right. The more gradual you do it, the less they notice. But it's these abrupt changes that can really throw people into a tizzy.
I don't know how you do that. Do you just slowly start shortening the tutorials until finally they're gone?
Oh, you know what, Bill? I wonder if this is true for you. So this has always been true for me in the show. If I announce a change, it's way worse. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
If I just do the change and just have it happen organically,
most people don't
bring any attention to it, 90% of the time, nobody even notices. Or if they do, they're just like, oh, well, this is just different, and they move on. But when it's somehow when you make a point of it, now it's a talking point, and they have to have a reaction. And you know,
we're going
to
be changing that middle of the show theme song that we play when we come out of the indie in the middle. It's like, oh, no.
Yeah, people would have freaked out. But we didn't.
Yeah. Some other good reasons why we changed. So my skills and my wants as a maker have changed. The things I want to do, the type of projects I want to tackle have changed. I've learned a lot of new skills over the last 10 years. I've also acquired a lot of new tools, a lot of very fun new tools, 3D printers, laser cutters, vinyl cutters. I have a rad CNC machine now, and I have an intense desire to use all of these neat tools. Mm. 10 years ago, I had like a sander and a scroll saw and some knives, and that's it. So my videos reflected that. And over time, as I acquired more tools and skills, they've got looped up in the videos. But that means it's a huge shift in how I made those videos.
What were the knives for? What'd you use those for back in the day?
I mean, I still use knives every day for all sorts of things. But back then, that was all I had. Just like an X-Acto knife, right?
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cutting plastic or whatever.
So if you're making one of these, let's see, where's that gun? Oh, I put it somewhere close so I could have it here. Anyway, your Jim Raynor gun you gave me, probably part of that was like you scraping around with knives and X-Actos and junk like that. Right.
I think I used rocks and sticks for that one, Scott.
It was early. It was the early days, yeah.
That thing is
crude tools made from the bone of a yak.
Yes.
I love this thing, and I'll never let it go because, to me, it represents this like moment in your career where things are about to pop, you know? I love that. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
And I don't even have one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't even have one to look at. Look, it's in my will, I'll say this goes back to Bill if I die.
Excellent. Fantastic.
Yeah. And then you'll hide it somewhere because you don't actually want to look at it because you'll be annoyed at how old it is. Yeah. I know that feeling.
A couple more things here. One of the things that leads to a lot of change is that keeping things fresh makes this fun for me. While someone might get to watch a 45-minute video from me every couple of weeks or every month or so, I spend all day, every day making these things. And if I just keep making similar props using similar methods and materials, I would get bored. I would get so bored. So changing and updating things makes it fun for me. And I don't know if everyone that watches my videos knows this, but that's the most important thing. As far as the outcomes of the video is concerned, the most important thing is that it's fun for me to make.
Yeah.
And that has to stay that way. Otherwise, I will not make videos anymore.
I'm with you, dude. That's a real... I'm glad you brought that up because similar... I mean, a lot of people want to know just like the... you know, all of the reasons why the instance ended when it did.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it was... you can only spend so long trying to force it to be what it either was at its peak...
yeah.
Or what it can't be given the certain, you know, current circumstances around Blizzard or other things, and trying to force it never works. It never freaking works. And no matter what you do to it, no matter how hard you try, no matter how earnest you are, if you are not passionate for it, it will eventually end in sadness. So you gotta,
you
gotta not do it.
We had a while when we were in our big shop where we were putting out a video every week. They were long. They're like half an hour to a 45-minute video every single week. And our YouTube channel was doing gangbusters. Like, we were getting more views than we've ever got before. And it was destroying me. It was so much work. And it wasn't fun anymore. Everyone watching the videos loved it.
Of course.
And the data reflected that. But it was I couldn't keep it up. Like, it was just an insane amount of work.
Yeah.
And like I said, most importantly, it was no longer fun. Which is why we don't make as many videos as we make, as we did back then.
Sure.
It was insane. And then my last point is that life circumstances change. So moving into and then back out of that big shop had a huge impact on the way we make our videos. And some of those things it's out of my hands.
You can't replicate it. Yeah.
Exactly. Can. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we make videos now the way we want to make them. We have fun when we make them, and we make them at a pace that is healthy for us.
Yeah.
And if that means that someone doesn't want to watch my YouTube videos anymore because I'm not making them for them anymore, that is a them problem. It's not a me problem.
It's a problem with them.
Sure.
Well, this is good advice, man. You've been there long enough. I think that is enough for people to hear that and go, oh, I should probably take that advice seriously from a guy who's done this for more than a decade.
Sure. Really, the lesson is just a little more empathy towards your creators.
That's a good idea. I agree with that. I had somebody, it wasn't this show, and I don't want to say what it was. I don't want to make a bigger deal out of it or give them too much oxygen, but it was an actual patron of another show, not this one, who was being really mean and saying terrible things in a Patreon reply about one of my co-hosts, who I consider to be brothers. Yeah. And I was so pissed at this. Because it just showed the least possible amount of empathy, and truly it was this moment of like you are treating these human beings like they're only objects to you, and they are only there to perform for you and do exactly what you think they should be doing with their lives, and you've forgotten completely about the fact that they're actually real human beings, and they have real lives, and they, you know, they have feelings and stuff. So I try not to go off on that stuff, but I couldn't help it. It's like, dude, what are you even freaking doing?
No, you got to defend them like they're your brothers, or
anytime that stuff happens, it's just like, gosh, dang it, freaking.
I haven't been on the receiving end of that. We don't have regular guests on our channel or anything. People we bring in all the time, but I've had friends who do that sort of thing, and sometimes someone will say, "Oh, I really don't like the new host you have," and the maker is like, "Well, it's my friend. What do you expect me to do with that information, right? Just go to my friend and be like, bad news, the folks don't like you, or this one guy doesn't like you. You're off the show, right?
Right. Yeah.
Or do I just block that one guy and never hear from him again? I'm like, that seems a little bit less resistance than telling my friend.
All you can do is just move on, say, well, sorry, and if you find you missed the content, come on back, because I'm still going to be making it for you.
That's right. That's a great attitude.
It's a great attitude and the tasty way to have it. All right. Mm-hmm. Bill, as always, you leave us with a little bonus link or content of some sort. What do you got today?
Yes, I do. One of my favorite YouTubers, our friend Ali Spagnola, who is always hustling. Mm. She is such a go-getter. She decided to cover her car in pop sockets.
Oh, yeah,
this is after she covered her car in AstroTurf, and then she made it into a driving Chia Pet.
Chia Pet, yeah.
Yeah.
She's so awesome.
So she's removed that to cover the entire thing in pop sockets. I've witnessed this car in person. It is becoming quite the legend.
Yeah. Her dumping all the pop sockets out that she bought in bulk.
Yeah.
It was like a weird weird levels of anxiety for me, because I just thought that is so many, so many freaking pop sockets, and you're going to have to put them all over your car. That car will never, that car will either never be resellable or will be the ultimate valued car in the history of the world by the time.
Well, no, those pop sockets don't have adhesive on them. They've got like a really sticky rubber surface that just like you can peel off and not leave any sort of residue.
Oh yeah, but what I mean is like it's the same car that had that other stuff done, and when she went to put these pop sockets on it, it's still covered in like
little. Well, that's true. Yeah, it's got the residue from the previous. Yeah.
I think she's onto something. She may be able to sell this car one day for way more than it's worth, because it'll be seen as the car that had all that weird shit on it.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And since it's a Toyota Yaris, it won't have to be that much to be more than the car's worth.
Yeah, this is true. And these pop sockets, she did this with a wall once, right? The same stuff?
Yeah, yeah. I played with that wall. It's cool.
Yeah.
Do you pull them all out and then you just kind of fall back on the wall and let them all go?
I pulled like 10 of them out.
Okay, all right, yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Oh, that was fun. I'm not doing that whole thing.
Pretty great, though. I wish I had a car I could just do this too.
Yeah, right.
You know, these kind of ideas. But this is what she does, so go check it out. It's pretty great. Ali Spagnola on her, what do you call it? Her YouTube account is what I'm trying to say.
YouTube.
And her music's amazing. Her fitness stuff is great. She's just a all-around kind of a content psycho, really.
She is.
It really is.
Nobody quite likes her.
I envy the amount of content that she puts out on a regular basis. It's absolutely amazing.
Oh, she's peeling the Chia Pet off the car. This is so nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all dead now. Oh, gross. That makes me want to take that car straight over to A1 and get it cleaned. Anyway, hey, Bill, this has been great. Always fun to have you on. In the meantime, people can check out your stuff at punishedprops.com and, of course, the Punished Props YouTube channel, which if you just search YouTube, you'll find it. You should subscribe because there's great stuff there. We hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Hello.
See ya.
Bye, Bill. Bye. Bye-bye. Hey, Bill. Bye. See you later, Bill.
All right. Bobby incoming.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get a little science in our lives.
Yeah.
Because why not, I say.
Science. Why not, indeed.
It's always good to have Bobby on. We're going to play his little thing here.
Science.
Hey, it's time for some science. Yeah, you heard me. Science with Bobby Frankenberger, who joins us from South Carolina. Right, Bobby? That's where you're at.
That's right. Yeah. Columbia, South Carolina, the capital of the state.
Yeah. That's where all the moving and shaking happens.
That's where it all happens. We make it happen here in Columbia, South Carolina.
Have you, give me the most famous person that you know of that came out of Columbia, South Carolina. Think of one? It's not a politician. They all suck. Forget those guys.
Yeah, right.
Sure.
Can't think of anybody, eh? That's all right. Nope. It's okay. You don't always have to have someone famous come out of your hometown. It's totally fine.
We have a gym named after Strom Thurmond, the famous racist senator.
Oh yeah, he was racist and a senator. You're right.
All right, I'll give you some. How about Aziz Ansari from Parks and Recreation?
Oh yeah.
How about Anna Camp, who always plays the blonde woman that you hate in movies?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Who else? What else you got?
Mike Coulter, the actor. Mike Coulter.
Oh,
but Mike these are just from, people from South Carolina, not necessarily Columbia.
Luke Cage is Mike Coulter is from. No, he's from Columbia, South Carolina. Either born in, residents of, or closely associated with Columbia, South Carolina. I'll clear that up.
Closely associated.
Well, I know that Aziz Ansari was born there because he's talked about it before. So that one's legit. The Parks and Rec dude.
What's his name? The late night guy. That is, I'm bad with names. With the glasses.
Stephen Colbert?
Colbert, he's from South Carolina.
All right. I didn't know that. See?
Not from Columbia, though, according to this.
Yeah.
No.
But look
Columbia.
At that, though. Go ahead.
Yeah, how about Kristen Davis, who played Charlotte, I think, on Sex and the City? She was one of those. One of those ladies.
Yeah, she's one of those ladies that were, you know, too old to be doing it with Chris Noth or whatever. So she's right. Good. Look, you got.
She was born in Boulder, just right up the street. Moved to Columbia, South Carolina, when she was a little kid, where she stayed for a long time. Lived for a long time. Her father was a provost and taught psychology at the University of South Carolina.
Oh, very nice.
Ah, that's where I got my psychology degree.
Oh my God, you might have been taught by Charlotte's dad.
Yeah, who knows? You never know.
You might be a Miranda.
Yeah. So I'm going to say my favorite person born and lives there is probably Bobby Frankenberger, who joins us today for a little science with Bobby.
Way to bring it back.
Yeah, you know, that's what I do. Hey, Bobby, I got an email for you real quick. I didn't warn you about this.
You never do.
This is before we talk about the big hole we've made. We'll get to that in a minute. This is a question for Bobby from Mike I think, or maybe that's a lowercase L. I'm not sure. I think it's I. Anyway, says, was wondering if Bobby had a favorite science story from last year and why, Mike. So 2021, I guess. Was there a story that year where you were like, oh man, this is an innovative thing, or I'll never forget this, or this changes everything, that wasn't like COVID stuff or something? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the tough thing, right? Because last year was dominated by COVID, and everything else seemed so small. But the my favorite thing from last year, unfortunately, was COVID related, but it's like tangential or touches on it, which was the fact that the two Nobel Prize winners, both women, who won the Nobel Prize for the CRISPR.
Oh, the that was a big one.
Yeah, so CRISPR being the I used to know what CRISPR, the entire acronym was, but the technology that allows scientists to be able to edit genes like your typing in a Word document or something.
Sure, sure.
They won the Nobel Prize for that last year, and it was very, very. It was very quick that they won that, and it, because it was such a big life changing or world changing technology and stuff. So.
Sure. Okay. Well, there you go. There's your answer, Mike. We hope that helped you. Let us know. And if you guys have questions for Bob, you can send them in themorningstream@gmail.com. Today, though, we're going to talk about something a little different. Remember those big, horrible Australia intense fires in late 2019, early 2020? Do you remember that?
I do.
It was bad.
Yeah.
And I remember a lot of Australian listeners in particular were like, oh, you should see it. It's this and that and the other thing. And it was just real gnarly.
Mm-hmm.
That turns out that smoke actually damaged the ozone layer, which is already a little flaky.
Oh, yeah.
And because blazes like that do happen more and more frequently these days, obviously there's greater fear that we're going to accelerate the deterioration of the ozone layer. But why this one in particular? What happened here that's like made it so distinct that we have to at least mention that the Australia fires in particular were bad?
I don't know that it's something particular about the Australia fires. I mean, it was a big, big wildfire and lasted a really, really long time. So there was just a lot of smoke, and I think it was really big. I think the news here is that this is the first time we've noticed that wildfires can negatively impact the ozone layer. And it's a very frustrating finding because we worked so hard to fix, and it was fixing itself, like it was being repaired, so to speak, the hole in the ozone layer. So for those people who might not know about ozone and the ozone layer and maybe didn't live through the 80s and 90s where everybody was constantly talking about the ozone layer, the ozone layer, ozone is O3. It's three atoms of oxygen. And it floats around in the upper atmosphere. Well, it floats around throughout the atmosphere, but the ozone layer that we're talking about is in the upper atmosphere, the stratosphere.
Yeah.
And the reason it's so important is that it absorbs ultraviolet radiation from the sun, and it protects us vulnerable, puny, weak humans on the Earth from UVB and UVC light. Ultraviolet radiation, and and the way that it does that is, and I'm explaining this not because it's just cool science, but also it'll help understand how wildfires have caused a problem. Which is the way that the ozone layer protects us is that oxygen up in the atmosphere is or ozone up in the atmosphere, whenever UV light hits it, it has enough energy that it will get absorbed by the ozone, or the O3, three atoms of oxygen. It absorbs that energy and it kicks off one of the oxygen atoms and creates just an oxygen molecule, O2, and a free radical oxygen atoms floating around. So it just knocks one of the oxygen atoms off. Now you would think, okay, so wouldn't you just run out of ozone wouldn't the sun destroy the ozone layer if it's doing that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's a self-sustaining process because other close related ultraviolet wavelengths also do the opposite. They provide the energy for oxygen and those individual atoms to recombine to create ozone. So ultraviolet radiation from the sun is destroying ozone and then also creating it all the time, but because it's doing that, it has to absorb the radiation from the sun, and so it, by absorbing it and causing that to happen, it doesn't make it down to us and it protects us,
right?
So the ozone layer is very important because otherwise you'd have really bad sunburns.
So what is it, why is it
you'd sizzle when you walked outside?
Why are you always hear about cow farts wrecking it? What's
methane?
What's the deal with methane?
I don't know that that does anything to the ozone layer. It does. That's a different problem. Methane is a greenhouse gas, so I'm glad you brought that up because it's easy to conflate these two. They're both global warming or climate change. They're all environmental issues, but the ozone layer, the reason that's such a big deal is not so it that's not necessarily contributing to a greenhouse effect. It's just that it's protecting life on Earth from radiation from the sun, right. Dangerous radiation from the sun. So that's why the ozone layer is important. But it does get a little bit more tangled up with this climate change thing that we're dealing with because of these wildfires. All right. So do you guys remember back in the 80s and 90s when ozone, everyone was constantly talking about the hole in the ozone?
It was a hot thing to talk about back then.
Do you remember?
I get it.
All right.
Do you remember what it was that was the culprit, what everybody was blaming for putting?
Oh, CFCs, right? It was hairspray.
Hairsprays and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, CFCs, hairspray was a big thing. So CFCs are chlorofluorocarbons. That's the molecule, but we shorten that to CFCs because no one wants to say chlorofluoro. I can barely say it. and so, hairspray, like aerosol cans use CFCs as a propellant. Also, it's in refrigerants for your refrigerator. It was in styrofoam. So this was a huge thing back in the 80s and 90s, and scientists discovered that, holy cow, we are rapidly, like very rapidly within the next few decades. Back then they said by 2050 we're not going to have an ozone layer anymore. That was their estimates. And so there was this big political mobilization to say we need to stop putting CFCs into anything. And it worked. And industries stopped. Scientists came up with an alternative. And now things just really aren't made with CFCs anymore. And not only did it work to get them to stop using it, but the ozone layer has recovered or has started to recover in a big, big way. And so it was like, this is a big success. Science and politics all coming together. Everybody felt good about it. And the whole world did something good, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And the way that CFCs cause a problem is inside that giant molecule there's a chlorine atom that the chlorine from the CFCs gets out and then interrupts the process I described of oxygen ozone breaking apart and recombining, because when it breaks apart the chlorine will grab up one of the oxygen molecules and won't let it recombine.
Right.
That's the simplified way to it. Just interrupts the process when chlorine is in the atmosphere. So back to the wildfires, right? How did the wildfires cause an ozone depletion? Well, particles from the smoke get shot up into the stratosphere because it's really, really hot and hot things rise, right?
Yeah.
Actually causes these fire-fueled thunderstorms that they call the clouds. They call them pyrocumulonimbus clouds.
Oh, wow.
Whoa, a cool name. Look at you.
It's like these wildfires cause thunderstorms to happen, but the result is that smoke gets shot way up into the upper atmosphere. And the smoke contains biological molecules, and then the sun interacts with those and things get broken apart, and there's all these chemicals in the atmosphere now that come from down below, and one of those chemicals happens to be chlorine.
Yeah.
And so it causes the same problems that CFCs did, and it starts to deteriorate the ozone layer again. And in fact, a lot of the progress that was made in repairing the ozone by getting rid of CFCs has been undone just by the Australia wildfires, and the ozone levels have dropped down below the average that there was between 2005 and 2019. And so that's concerning.
Yeah.
Why is it concerning? Because we have more and more and more wildfires, and they're not predicted to slow down because of climate change.
Yeah. And that seems bad. So all you Californians with your, oops, I dropped a cigarette out in the dirt. Careful this year. Not that that solves your problem. You're going to have fires anyway. But maybe some of the man-made ones could slow down. That'd be good. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All our fires always start with somebody shooting.
Some wildfires are unavoidable.
Yeah, some are happening because
lightning strikes.
Right, dry brush, whatever.
Sure, sure. Yeah. But the ones where, like out here, I swear, ours always start with some ding-dong out in Payson with his shotgun trying to hit a pigeon 50 yards away and ends up starting a fire.
It's gender reveal, Scott. It's the whole gender reveal party has caused all the wildfires.
That's right.
That
it's all gender reveal. Yep. Yes. Just, you know what? Next time you find out a gender, just say it. Yeah. Just go, oh, it's a girl. And be done.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Be done. Not everything has to be a giant thing. Just say, here's the gender. He's a little boy.
Zuckerberg
okay.
Zuckerberg had never invented social media.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have wildfires.
Then we wouldn't have wildfires.
Totally true. Yeah.
Well, all right. This is all bad news, but we're going to.
Yeah, I know. You picked. I was searching for like the positive twist, but I hate to say it. We haven't figured out the climate change thing yet, guys.
Yeah, we're still there. We're still digging around. But, well, you know, whatever. It's also nice to hear when there are gains, like hearing the ozone layer was, you know, experienced a great deal of healing after we made a big change.
It's
great.
The ozone layer problem is reversible if we can stop getting things into the upper atmosphere that are causing problems.
Yeah. Because it's already proven that it will self-regulate if we back off.
We just treat it a little nicer.
Yeah, a little nicer. Yeah. Right. Like, your mother will still make you pie if you treat her nicely.
Can't we all just get along with the upper atmosphere?
Can't we? Getting along with the upper atmosphere with Bobby is a great title. Someone take
that.
There
we go. Somebody put that in. Yeah, yes.
It's real good. Bobby, as always, the pleasure of hanging out with you is ours, but we'd like people to know more about where they can get more stuff. Where is All Around Science and how do they get it?
All Around Science lives where podcasts live, in the great podcast.
The lower atmosphere.
Yeah, the lower and we have a science episode every week where we talk about just cool things in science and what's going on in science news. Yesterday's episode that just came out, we had Nikki Ackerman's back. Nikki.
Yay!
And she's always a delight to have on the episode.
She is.
She's awesome.
She's so fun. And we talked about whether birds have language or not. We discussed that.
Oh, bird language. Birdlage, yeah.
Which she'd be expert on, right? Because she is a birder.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm realizing now that I missed the perfect opportunity for a bird's the word joke.
The bird, well, the bird is the word.
Maybe she hasn't heard.
Yeah, maybe she hasn't heard about the bird.
About the bird?
Yeah, about the bird. Nikki, Zoe says Nikki's coming to Vegas. That's awesome.
She is, yes. I hope she's bringing her big glasses.
I hope so.
Oh, yeah.
I hope so. She's great. I feel dumb when I'm around her.
She is such a delight, yeah.
So I'm excited to feel even dumber while I'm around her, so we'll see how it goes. All right, excellent stuff. Bobby, always a pleasure to have you here. We wish you nothing but wind to your back for the rest of your day, all right? Mm-hmm. We'll see you next time.
Here.
Bye now. All right, Brian, as we close out today, I would like to mention the following thing. Yeah. Play Retro today, 3:30 Mountain Time, going deep into the relationship of Capcom and Disney back in the day when they were putting out games for the NES and Super NES, and why one of those games in particular is considered an all-time classic that I never played at the time, but man, do people love this game, and that's DuckTales for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Now, that may sound dumb and boring and for kids or whatever, but apparently...
And you're right, it is.
And, I played that game this week. It is hard as nails. It's
really,
really freaking hard. And a lot of people say this is the Dark Souls games before Dark Souls games. we'll get into that. So bring your childhood memories and your nostalgia to Play Retro today at 3:30 Mountain Time right here at frogpants.tv or later on the site or wherever you get your podcast. Just look for Play Retro. It's also a brand new Soundography. Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah, Manic Street Preachers, finally. Hammond and I have been talking about this one for a long time, but this is a Britpop group that kind of barely made a little bit of a splash here in the U.S. Big in the U.K., though, and the Manics. It's funny, I was in the Barnes & Noble the other day looking for the cover magazine. The cover issue of Classic Rock magazine.
Let's see what you got.
I finally got The Rock's Greatest Covers.
Yeah.
It's like this, you know, they should have just sent this to me. If they weren't going to interview me for the article, then they should have just automatically sent this to me.
I agree.
Anyway.
You're the cover master. What are they even thinking? I'm annoyed by this.
What are they thinking? No. But, you know, they've got those one-off quote-unquote magazines like Justin Bieber magazine and BTS magazine and stuff like that. You see these weird things in Barnes & Noble. They actually have a Manic Street Preachers magazine, which blew my mind. I mean, it's one issue.
Sure.
These are all done as a single issue. They're really just fan books that are put into the periodicals section.
But they used to do this with video games. They would do like a one-off issue of Halo or
right. And it was really just cheat codes and tips on how to
it's all just like a big ad basically, but still it's kind of cool to have.
Exactly. Yeah. I can't create a book, so I'm gonna make a magazine. Yeah. Anyway, so that has absolutely zero to do with what Soundography is about. Soundography, Manic Street Preachers. Find out about this really cool band that had a bizarre disappearance of one of their members early in their career. You'll find that at soundography.com and get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Sounds great. Patreon.com/TMS is how this show stays afloat. We're about to enter a new month very soon, so consider hopping in now. I want to thank Ryan Johnson, director of Knives Out, for being a supporter of the show. He's at the grade A-plus level. I'm sure this Ryan Johnson never gets any
totally the same
the
one,
director.
Yeah, for sure.
I really liked Brick. Let's see. Princess Chocobo is also in here at the grade A-plus. Thank you for that. And also The Murd.
The Murd,
who is at our Morning Brew level, which is a really great level if you guys want to check that out. If none of these make sense to you, go check it out on the Patreon and you'll figure it out. Also, there will be a PM edition of the show this week. We had a couple of weeks of Playdate, then Out of Townage.
Then me in Dallas. Yeah. By the way, those three people you just mentioned, the patrons, so Ryan Johnson, Princess Jacobo, and The Murd, those are the final three bosses you encounter when you play Solid Ferret, the action RPG from Telltale Studios.
Solid Ferret.
Yeah, the final three bosses that you get to.
I want to play Solid Ferret now. Well done. I actually really like this new bit. It's very good. Frogpants.com/TMS is for everything else you might need. And I'm telling you, requesting songs, whatever, it's all there. So head on over there and check it out. TheMorningStream@gmail.com for your feedback and thoughts. That is it for the show. We do need to leave with a song, though. And Brian brought one.
I did. Alex, a.k.a. Senraven, sent one. So technically, I just brought his. He says, "Hi, Scoot and Boot. My birthday is on the 27th, so I figured I would request something." What? I don't know, but it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. So make it swing, says Alex. Mm. Well, we had some requests earlier this week, so finally get to this one. But Alex, how about a cover of Technotronic's classic Pump Up the Jam, which we actually talked about earlier in the show, or maybe it was in the pre-show. This is by an electro swing band called Swing Rowers or Swing Growers. I can't tell where that G belongs. Maybe it's Swing Growers. Maybe that's it. And you just pronounce the G with both words. This is from the EP they released in 2014 called Do Not Cover. And it also includes a really cool electro swing cover of Mr. Sandman. But this one's the one I chose because I think it rocks. Here's Pump Up the Jam by Swing Growers.
Technotronic, 1989, pump up the jam. Pump up the jam, pump it up while your feet are stumping. And the jam is bumping, look ahead, the crowd is jumping. Pump it up a little more, get the party going on the dance floor. See, cause that's where the party's at, you'll find out if you do that.
Get your booty on the floor tonight. Ooh, I wanna place to stay. Get your happening. Look at here, the crowd is jumping. Pump it up a little more. Get the party going on the dance floor. See, cause that's where the party's at. They'll find out if you knew that.
Show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
$20. Big bets, $20.
$20.
$20. Yep. Big bet.
Get in there with
not
big
the
bet.
Small bets. Those are less. But the big bets, $20.
Big bets, $20.